Right off the top, something totally different today. Everything is online. You're going to hear a new song from River Valley Worship. I'm going to preach a message, and get ready for it. I'll be right back in a minute.
Hold nothing back. Acts 2020, it's 2020 this year. That's our theme. Hold nothing back. Our church is going digital. We're not canceling church, we're just changing it. There's so much going on with the coronavirus. Of course, church is now digital.
I feel like I now pastor one church that has three distinct congregations at eight locations.
Our team's been hard at work believing this, that we're gonna be ready for you if you join us for weekend services here.
We raised $2,825,970 in the miracle offering. Thank you, Lord. Well, here we are with the last weekend of the year. I am in an empty church and you are at home or in a special place. And it's very different from normal. And it just feels so weird to have the church be empty. And I just want you to take it in and see the visual of this, the church being empty. No church is built with the desire for it to be empty. I go through the old cathedrals of the world and I see them empty and I think there's no way people gave their life so that that thing could be empty. And I'm believing up ahead, our buildings will be filled again with people. And here we are, 2020 had empty stadiums, it had empty businesses, it had empty schools, empty churches, empty cities, empty streets. If you drove around at night and you saw, or even during the day, it just was empty. And there was something that our response to COVID-19 did, and we were trying to stop the spread of it, and just everything became empty. And I want us to pause last weekend of the year and look back. I want us to look forward, and I want us to leave behind. Look back, look forward, leave behind. And if you are able to right now, I'd like you to get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and even pause this and just say, okay, I'm going to get a piece of paper. You might say, I'm going to take notes on my iPad or, you know, my laptop or whatever. It's not about that. You could still do that. The piece of paper and the pen or pencil, crayon would do. I mean, just to be able to have something to be able to write down. At the end of this message, I'll give you the direction on what to do with that, but hold on to that until then. So let's look back. I just have to say this, that it'd be easy to see the bad that happened in this year, but there was so much good that took place. And God did so much good in a very bad time. I was talking to our staff recently, and I said, we'll look back on this, and this will be one of those years that shaped us, that formed us, and God did more in us than we realized. And it's going to make us stronger for the future. But looking back on the good, I mean, I said, hold nothing back was the theme. And who knew that it would turn out in this way with hold nothing back? And of course, when the pandemic hit, we looked at Psalm 91 and we stood on the promise of that, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my strength, my God in whom I trust. I mean, we stood on that. 1,000 will fall by your side and it won't come near you. We stood on that and it helped us get through the fear. We, of course, lived out Isaiah 43:2, and we said when we go through the fire or walk through the water, he's going to be with us. And those were promises that we were grabbing hold of that were just stories or passages in the Bible that jumped out to us. Of course, we reaffirmed Jeremiah 29:11 that we know the plans that the Lord has for us, that they're good and they're not bad. And we had to hold on to that in those times. And we were reminded that we presume too much on the future. And we preached the message, Deo Valente, Lord willing. We need to live that way still, even today. Lord willing, let's not presume upon the future and think that we just have it all figured out and we can chart our course. And as a visionary, that's so hard. And I'm charting again, but I'm remembering, Lord willing. And of course, we rededicated ourselves to Charlie Mike. Continue mission. Nothing changes. We're going to continue mission. But I just want to look back at some of the good that was done. And so many of you helped with all these things. We went from having church in person to church all online in just a few days. And immediately we went online and we created a studio at our central offices. We recorded kids programming and did all this. And it immediately, it just changed overnight. And we started an online campus, which I'm so grateful for because we are now seeing people all around the world. We're hearing reports from people in India and all across Africa and just people that are saying, hey, I'm part of the church and I'm part of your online congregation. That all happened. It was a good thing that came out of this. We had virtual life groups, a couple sessions of it, where we said community is important. And even though we were on Zoom and we were seeing people in those awkward moments of start, stop, and trying to figure out, we still prayed together, laughed together, had the form of community in a digital way. We did our Good Friday service at home and produced it for you to enjoy it at home. And I will say this, that's a new tradition. I'm just going to declare that we are going to do our Good Friday service online and be able to do that. And it will be an online at-home version. And that's just the way it's going to be. Because there's something special about celebrating Good Friday in your home with family. You could do it together as a group and as codes permit and executive orders and all the things that are going on. We'll work with that, but that's a new tradition. Of course, good and tragedy. You cannot go through this without talking about this. Minneapolis became the epicenter of the whole world. Their eyes were on Minneapolis with the tragic death of George Floyd, where his life was taken on that street. And I mean, we grieved, we cried, we stood together. And then our church said, we will listen. And not only will we listen, we will help. And our church activated. We helped on the city streets. We did boxes of hope and delivered those to people that were hurting. And we said, you know what? We're gonna work together with other churches, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and those around us, and say, we need to alleviate this pain. We need to alleviate and heal this pain and this hurt that's been here way too long, and the lingering effects that have been in our country from racism. We've got to heal this. And so our church stood with other churches and with our brothers and sisters and said, we're going to work together to heal this. And the heavy lifting is not done. It's really an awakening, a listening, and now we're stepping into action. And I'm asking for your prayers as we try to bring churches together to say, it changes. It changes now. And we're moving forward, not happy with where we've been, disappointed in where we've been, and disappointed in what progress has been made. Like, more needs to be done. Progress was made, but more needs to be done. And the church is going to lead the way. The church is going to stand together and say, we're going to do this better. So that happened on our streets. And thank you again for all those that helped and brought healing and care. We pivoted. That was a new word. Pivot. And we had virtual global teams because we're a global church. We're believing that we're called to go into all the world. And so we had global teams that went around the world virtually. And God used it. God used it in special ways. And so thank you for our team being creative. And so many of you were creative in your industry, whether you put up plexiglass in your restaurant or you had distancing or sanitization of shopping carts or whatever you did. We were no different. We moved our rows further apart because we were able to have in-person worship with a limited capacity. And so we all pivoted and did those things as well. And so thank you for those of you that overcame fear and said, we'll be there. We'll be greeters. We'll be ushers. We'll wave. We'll do whatever. We'll watch children. We'll be worship leaders. We'll do whatever we can. And again, pivoting and saying, we're going to make the most of this moment. It just brought out a creativity in our church and around the world that I believe God will build on. Of course, we celebrated our 25th anniversary. God was too good to us for 25 years for us to not celebrate 25 years. And so we celebrated 25 years. And of course, it went from stadiums to stay at home. But still, we celebrated. And I thank God. It was the 25th year, but we're going to celebrate the 26th year. In the 27th year and the 20, you get the point. God was too good and he's going to continue to be good to us. But we had a marking moment. People marked 25 and we did, and we celebrated together. We also had our best Kingdom Builders miracle offering we've ever received. In a world of COVID, in a world of uncertainty, in a world of what if, in a world that I talked about in that message of just in case, hold back. I really believe that's where God broke through. And that was our hold nothing back moment. And to have a hold nothing back moment where over 2.8 million came in the Kingdom Builders miracle offering. Think about it. Almost as much as what came in the entire year to that point came in the miracle offering. And now we continue to give. And if I could pause for just a moment, there's an opportunity for you to give right now. So many of you have been giving online and giving faithfully, and still to this day, over half of our congregation does not worship in person, but they still are using the online. And please, with what's going on in the world, as you see ready to come back and you feel ready, please join us in in-person worship. But thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Thank you for those of you that were texting the word tithe to 94,000 and other giving things that we had. And you could still give to the Kingdom Builders miracle offering. And our giving in the last week of the year, many times equals a whole month's worth of giving. So please, as God has blessed you and enabled you to be finishing the year strong, remember the church in your faithfulness in giving. And let's see where Kingdom Builders can end. I'm believing it could be a record year and will be a record year as we hold nothing back. But seriously, when we revealed that amount, God, something special happened in our church. And then in the midst of all this, we had a worship recording. We released an album to the world, Altars. And I know that there was discussion, should we stop? Should we send it out? Not. What should we do? And I really felt this, the world needed new music. The world needed something. It felt like COVID was taking away our music, taking away the music of the world. And our team just felt so strongly, let's release this album and get it out to the world. And it was very important because in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of all that was going on, here's one thing I know for certain, the name of Jesus needs to be lifted up and the name of Jesus needs to be worshiped. Way too good to us, way too good. We've got to continue to praise the name of Jesus. And I'm just praying for all that was done in 2020, looking back at the good and the bad and the ugly, we're still going to praise the name of Jesus all around the world. So looking back now, looking forward, and as a visionary, again, that's easy for me to do. And I'm praying that you'll grab hold of this, you'll look forward to. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I am believing this, that he's going to continue it in you and work it through you. And it reminds me of the message, you know, Charlie Mike, continue mission. Jesus is going to continue the mission in you and through you. And we're going to look forward to what God has for us. Now, breakthrough advances are happening right now. And we are believing 2021 is going to be different than 2020. I just believe that. I believe that we can believe God for more. And I've kind of been saying this, I want to pillage the year. What does that mean? I want to pillage the year. Like, I'm going for it. I'm believing God for more and like a double portion in 2021. I'm believing for filled churches. I'm believing for outreaches and coming together and seeing the church being together again. I'm believing for more water baptisms. I'm believing for family get-togethers. I'm believing for less fear, more faith. And I just love this. Somebody pointed out to me, they said, human beings have the ability to dream of a better future. They said, you know, animals don't sit around and think, I wonder if the food tomorrow is going to be better than today. It's like food, eat, food, eat. Human beings have the ability that even while we're eating a meal right now, we could talk about the next meal. Because we have the ability to dream about the future. And as you're living in this year, closing it out, dream about next year and dream that you're going to pillage the year for God's glory. You are not, it's almost like if hold nothing back, it's like pillage the year, get more than you ever thought possible. And I'm looking forward to preaching the vision message up ahead. because I just feel like that's going to be part of it. We're going to pillage the year. There's something there for us more than we ever dreamt could be possible or placed into our hands. So maybe pillage the year for you means go on 3 global teams. As soon as we open, 3 global teams, you're going. Or it means you're going to go to multiple services. Before COVID, people were going to, you know, multiple services, and I'd see them back again and again. They're like, I just want more. Man, when we open it up and clear the deck and say any number of people, maybe you're going to say, I need to make up for lost time. I'm going to pillage the year. So I just believe this, that bad times end. Bad times end, and in 2020, we're moving forward. And I love this in the Bible. There's just those words that say, and it came to pass, and it came to pass. It means this is what was going on, and it came to pass, and that's out, and new is in. And just grab hold of that, and it came to pass. Let God give you hope right now that your future is bright. Jeremiah 29:11 is for you. Matter of fact, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we could end right there, but there's still more. And remember that piece of paper I told you to grab a hold of and that pen or pencil or crayon or whatever you have. You're going to need that now, all right? And we could end there, but that's vision. But we look back and we looked forward, and now I want to leave something behind. I really believe this is important, and this wasn't the only bad year in history. I mean, for me personally, 2004, when my dad passed away and died, you know, he knew Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And if I could pause for a moment, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we are praying for you that you would do that, that you would say yes to Jesus, and you would say, I want to be forgiven of my sins, and I want to serve you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. We would believe that for you. We pray every time in every service for people to do that. But my dad passed away in 2004, and he knew Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He lived his life with no regrets. That was a terrible year for us. I just wanted 2004 to end. 2008, the global recession and crisis, financial crisis, and of course, our church had a financial crisis. I wanted 2008 to end. Some of you are saying 2020 needs to end. And I know for my wife losing her father this year and just 2020, you're like, these years need to end. And the Bible records years of tribulation and struggle and trials and famine and all these things going on. And it's very real in that way, that it doesn't gloss over that everything's good, everything's perfect. There are bad years, there are bad times in our life. And there are things that we even grab hold of. I won't forget that John Maxwell said to me early on in COVID lockdown, he said, there are people that are going to emerge with this with bad habits, and there are going to be people that will emerge with good habits. What are you going to do, Rob? And I was like, I'm going to emerge with good. But there still were bad things that just came out, and I want to leave those behind. I want to leave them behind. And I'm reminded of a time in the Bible where David, if you're not familiar with David, David was a shepherd, and the Lord had picked him to be the future king of Israel. And he's going to be the future king of Israel, but the current king of Israel, Saul, is chasing him and hunting him down. And in this whole process, he comes to the cave of Adullam and gets to this cave, and he's just thinking, this is a bad year. This is a bad, I'm in a cave. I'm being hunted down by the king. And I thought you anointed me, God, for greater things. I thought it was, there are things in my heart that you have for me. And while he's in this cave, he actually writes several of the Psalms that we read. And one of them is in Psalm 142. And I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, now get this, he's in a cave. He's in a cave. It is not going good. He says this, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. He's like, I'm alone. He said, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Just let me pause for that moment. Maybe you felt that way this year. David's identifying, like, it's a bad year. Nobody cares for me. And he said, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. I mean, he's crying in this cave. He's crying out to God. He's saying, no one's here. And just imagine, like, empty building here. There's a little bit of an echo that I hear. Imagine being in the cave. There's an echo there, and it's dark, it's wet, it's cold. There's an echo. And as much as caves are destructive to your physical well-being, you weren't made to live in a cave. A cave is destructive to your spiritual well-being, your emotional well-being. It's destructive to your soul. And David is in a literal cave. And some of you have felt like you've been in a cave in 2020, and things have been on you and in you and a part of you. And I'm just saying right now, you need to leave those things behind. David says, I cried out to you, God. I cried out. And there's something within the human soul that says, I want to cry out when I'm going through bad. I've talked about the struggle of COVID and lockdowns and this and rules and laws and government. There's just something about you that when you're struggling and economy, you just want to cry out to someone. David didn't cry out to other people. He cried out to God. And you need to cry out to God right now. And I'm going to ask you to do it in a different way. Instead of just verbally saying it, I'm going to ask for you to write it down. I'm going to ask for you to write it down on a piece of paper. And if you say, like, I'm alone. Whatever it is that you're going through, I've got fear. This boiled up in me. And matter of fact, I have mine here. Just to illustrate and just show, like, do something like this. I mean, maybe some of you are struggling with fear and doubt and anger and lack and loneliness and depression and sickness. I want you to write it down. And maybe you could write it out in a longer way and put more to it. But there's something about crying it out and laying it out before God. The psalm says he like lays it out before God. And some of you need to lay it out before God and say, this is what I'm going through. This is what I struggled with this year. And he says, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. And I believe if you write this out, you could write it out as a prayer. God, I give you my fear. I give you my doubt. I give you my loneliness. I give you these things because caves produce the best prayers. And 2020 may be producing the best prayers you've ever prayed in your life as you're asking God to get you through these moments. And he says, you are my refuge. And because you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you trust in God, he is your refuge. And because he's your refuge, he can then be your portion. What does that mean? Like, do I get a helping of God? No, portion meant inheritance, that which I value, that which gives me meaning, that which is which I'm living for, like my happiness, everything. You're my portion. If I have you, I have everything I need. That's what David was saying. I may have been living in a cave, and it's interesting. He went from the cave to the kingdom. He became the king eventually. And you may be living in the COVID cave right now, and you're like, I got to get out of the COVID cave. We got to get out of 2020. I'm telling you right now, you're going to move from where you are into the next thing and saying, God, I'm writing this down. I'm going to move from the COVID cave. I'm moving into your praise because that's how it ends. It says, get me out of this cave so I can praise. Get me out of this cave so I can praise you. And I think it'd be so appropriate as we end this that you take this and you write things down. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to finish that, write it down. And then here's what I'm going to ask you to do one last step with this. I'm going to ask you that you crumple it up, throw it away, and see it like being left behind in 2020, being left behind. Maybe you're going to burn it. You have a fireplace. You can throw it in the fireplace, burn it, and get it out of here. When we left a building years ago and we were moving into the Apple Valley campus, I told everyone in the church, I said, write down the things that you don't want to have anymore in your life. Write down the things you want to get rid of. Write down the things you want to leave behind. Crumple it up, throw it on the floor. We'll gather it up, throw it in the garbage. Nobody's going to read it. You're going to leave it behind. You're not going to bring it with you in the new building. It's just a fresh start. There's something about the turn of a calendar, a new building, a new home, something that happens that gives you a fresh start and a new start. And so he moved from the cave to praise. And I'm believing that you could move from your COVID cave to praise. And 2020 is going to be over and you're going to look back. Thank you, God, for what was good. God, thank you for forming in me the times that were bad and shaping me. God, I'm looking forward. I will pillage the next year. But God, right now, these are the things I'm leaving behind. These are the things I am not taking with me anymore. And when I get out of this cave, I will praise you. I will praise you. So Lord, I just pray right now that you would help us to do that, that you would help us to look at the things we want to leave behind. There are real fears. There are real doubts. There are real moments of lack right now. People need jobs right now, and they're saying, God, get me through. People are lonely, and they need a friend. They need to get back into church community, and they're like, I need it. I need it. I got to get back. There are people that need to get over sickness and need healing, and they need these to be healed even of depression and brought out of the low in the cave that they're in into hope. And so, God, I'm praying right now as they write these things down and in the moments ahead as they do this, as this next song plays, that they would leave it behind. They'd crumple it up. They'd throw it in the garbage. They'd throw it in the fireplace. Maybe they'd tear it up with joy and say, that gets left behind. Those pieces will never be part of my life again. From the cave to praise, God, you will move us forward. You will give us the ability to praise you and to worship you and to move forward. None of these things are sticking with us. They're gone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. It's time to leave behind the things you don't want in your life anymore.
I don't need a thing, 'cause I have you.